Chapter 26. The farmers, all the moneyed class. The character of the town's trading had changed from bulk to multiplicity, and pence were handled now as pounds had been handled earlier in the day. Lucetta and Elizabeth looked out upon this, for though it was night and the street lamps were lighted, they had kept their shutters unclosed. In the faint blink of the fire they spoke more freely. "Your father was distant with you," said Lucetta. "Yes. And having forgotten the momentary mystery of Henchard's seeming speech to Lucetta," she continued, "it is because he does not think I am respectable. I have tried to be so more than you can imagine, but in vain. My mother's separation from my father was unfortunate for me. You don't know what it is to have shadows like that upon your life." Lucetta seemed to wince. "Do not of that kind precisely," she said, "but you may feel a sense of disgrace, shame in other ways. Have you ever had any such feeling?" said the younger innocently. "Oh no," said Lucetta quickly. "Was thinking of what happens sometimes when women get themselves in strange positions in the eyes of the world from no fault of their own. It must make them very unhappy afterwards. It makes them anxious. For might not other women despise them? Not altogether despise them, yet not quite like or respect them." Lucetta winced again. Her past was by no means secure from investigation, even in Casterbridge. For one thing, Henchard had never returned to her the cloud of letters as he had written and sent him in her first excitement. Possibly they were destroyed, but she could have wished that they had never been written. Their encounter with Farfrae and his bearings towards Lucetta had made the reflective Elizabeth more observant of her brilliant and amiable companion. A few days afterwards, when her eyes met Lucetta's as the latter was going out, she somehow knew that Miss Templeman was nourishing a hope of seeing the attractive Scotchman. The fact was printed large all over Lucetta's cheeks and eyes to anyone who could read her as Elizabeth Jane was beginning to do. Lucetta passed on and closed the street door. A seer's spirit took possession of Elizabeth, impelling her to sit down by the fire and divine events so surely from data already her own that they could be held as witnessed. She followed Lucetta, thus mentally saw her encounter Donald somewhere, as if by chance, saw him wear his special look when meeting women, with an added intensity, because this one was Lucetta. She depicted his impassioned manner, beheld the indecision of both between their lothness to separate and their desire not to be observed, depicted their shaking of hands, how they probably parted with frigidity in their general contour and movements, only in the smaller features showing the spark of passion, thus invisible to all but themselves. This discerning silent witch had not done thinking of these things when Lucetta came noiselessly behind her and made her start. It was all true as he had pictured she could have sworn it. Lucetta had a heightened luminousness in her eye over and above the advanced color of her cheeks. "You've seen Mr. Farfrae," said Elizabeth demurely. "Yes," said Lucetta. "How did you know?" She knelt down on the hearth and took her friend's hands excitedly in her own. But after all, she did not say when or how he had seen him or what he had said. That night she became restless. In the morning she was feverish, and at breakfast time she told her companion that he had something on her mind, something which concerned a person in whom she was interested much. Elizabeth was earnest to listen and sympathize. "This person, a lady, once admired a man much, very much," she said tentatively. "Ah," said Elizabeth Jane. "They were intimate, rather. He did not think so deeply of her as she did of him. But in an impulsive moment, purely out of reparation, he proposed to make her his wife. She agreed. But there was an unsuspected hitch in the proceedings, though he had been so far compromised with him that she felt she could never belong to another man, as a pure matter of conscience, even if she should wish to. After that they were much apart, heard nothing of each other for a long time, and she felt her life quite closed up for her. Ah, poor girl! She suffered much on account of him, though I should add that he could not altogether be blamed for what had happened. At last the obstacle which separated them was providentially removed, and he came to marry her. How delightful! But in the interval she, my poor friend, had seen a man she liked better than him. Now comes the point. Could she in honor dismiss the first? A new man she liked better, that's bad. Yes, said Lucetta, looking pained at a boy who was swinging the town pump handle. Tea is bad. Though you must remember that she was forced into an equivocal position with the first man by an accident, that he was not so well educated or refined as the second, and that as he had discovered some qualities in the first that rendered him less desirable as a husband than as he had at first thought him to be. I cannot answer, said Elizabeth Jane thoughtfully. Tea is so difficult. It wants a Pope to settle that. You prefer not to, perhaps? Lucetta showed in her appealing tone how much she lent on Elizabeth's judgment. Yes, Miss Templeman, admitted Elizabeth. Would rather not say. Nevertheless, Lucetta seemed relieved by the simple fact of having opened out the situation a little, and was slowly convalescent of her headache. Bring me a looking glass. How do I appear to people? She said languidly. Well, a little worn, answered Elizabeth, eyeing her as a critic eyes a doubtful painting. Fetching the glass, she enabled Lucetta to survey herself in it, which Lucetta anxiously did. I wonder if I wear well, as times go, she observed after a while. Yes, fairly. Where am I worst? Under your eyes I notice a little brownness there. Yes. That is my worst place, I know. How many years more do you think I shall last, before I get hopelessly plain? There was something curious in the way in which Elizabeth, though the younger, had come to play the part of experienced sage in these discussions. Tea may be 5 years, she said judicially. Are, with a quiet life, as many as 10. With no love you might calculate on 10. Lucetta seemed to reflect on this, as on an unalterable, impartial verdict. She told Elizabeth Jane no more of the past attachment as he had roughly adumbrated as the experiences of a third person, and Elizabeth, who in spite of her philosophy, was very tender-hearted, sighed that night in bed at the thought that her pretty, rich Lucetta did not treat her to the full confidence of names and dates in her confessions. For by the tea of Lucetta's story Elizabeth had not been beguiled. 25. The next phase of the supersession of Henchard in Lucetta's heart was an experiment in calling on her performed by Farfrae with some apparent trepidation. Conventionally speaking, he conversed with both Miss Templeman and her companion, but in fact it was rather that Elizabeth sat invisible in the room. Donald appeared not to see her at all, and answered her wise little remarks with curtly indifferent monosyllables, his looks and faculties hanging on the woman who could boast of a more Protean variety in her phases, moods, opinions, and also principles, than could Elizabeth. Lucetta had persisted in dragging her into the circle, but as he had remained like an awkward third point which that circle would not touch. Susan Henchard's daughter bore up against the frosty ache of the treatment, as he had borne up under worse things, and contrived as soon as possible to get out of the inharmonious room without being missed. The Scotchman seemed hardly the same Farfrae who had danced with her, and walked with her in the delicate poise between love and friendship, that period in the history of a love, when alone it can be said to be unalloyed with pain. She stoically looked from her bedroom window, and contemplated her fate, as if it were written on the top of the church tower hard by. S, she said at last, bringing down her palm upon the sill with a pat colon, he is the second man of that story she told me. All this time Henchard's smoldering sentiments towards Lucetta had been fanned into higher and higher inflammation by the circumstances of the case. He was discovering that the young woman for whom he once felt a pitying warmth which had been almost chilled out of him by reflection, was, when now qualified with a slight inaccessibility and a more matured beauty, the very being to make him satisfied with life. Day after day proved to him, by her silence, that it was no use, to think of bringing her round by holding aloof. So he gave in, and called upon her again, Elizabeth Jane being absent. He crossed the room to her with a heavy tread of some awkwardness, his strong, warm gaze upon her like the sun beside the moon in comparison with Farfrae's modest look, and with something of a hail fellow bearing, as, indeed, was not unnatural. But she seemed so transubstantiated by her change of position, and held out her hand to him in such cool friendship, that he became deferential, and sat down with a perceptible loss of power. He understood but little of fashion in dress, yet enough to feel himself inadequate in appearance beside her whom he had hitherto been dreaming of as almost his property. She said something very polite about his being good enough to call. This caused him to recover balance. He looked her oddly in the face, losing his awe. "Why, of course I have called, Lucetta," he said. "What does that nonsense mean? You know I couldn't have helped myself, if I had wished, that is, if I had any kindness at all. I've called to say that I am ready, as soon as custom will permit, to give you my name in return for your devotion, and what you lost by it in thinking too little of yourself and too much of me, to say that you can fix the day or month, with my full consent, whenever in your opinion it would be seemly. You know more of these things than I." "It is full early yet," she said evasively. "Yes, yes, I suppose it is. But you know, Lucetta, I felt directly my poor ill-used Susan died, and when I could not bear the idea of marrying again, that after what had happened between us, it was my duty not to let any unnecessary delay occur before putting things to rights. Still, I wouldn't call in a hurry, because, well, you can guess how this money you've come into made me feel." His voice slowly fell. He was conscious that in this room his accents and manner wore a roughness not observable in the street. He looked about the room at the novel hangings and ingenious furniture with which she had surrounded herself. "Upon my life, I didn't know such furniture as this could be bought in Casterbridge," he said. "Nor can it be," said she. "Or will it till 50 years more of civilization have passed over the town? It took a wagon and 4 horses to get it here. H'M. It looks as if you were living on capital." "Oh no, I am not." "So much the better. But the fact is, your setting up like this makes my beaming towards you rather awkward." "Why?" An answer was not really needed, and he did not furnish one. "Well," he went on, "there's nobody in the world I would have wished to see enter into this wealth before you, Lucetta, and nobody, I am sure, who will become it more." He turned to her with congratulatory admiration so fervid that she shrank somewhat, notwithstanding that she knew him so well. "I am greatly obliged to you for all that," said she, rather with an air of speaking ritual. The stint of reciprocal feeling was perceived, and Henchard showed chagrin at once. Nobody was more quick to show that than he. "You may be obliged or not for it. Though the things I say may not have the polish of what you've lately learned to expect for the first time in your life, they are real, my Lady Lucetta." "That's rather a rude way of speaking to me," pouted Lucetta, with stormy eyes. "Not at all," replied Henchard hotly. "But there, there, I don't wish to quarrel with thee. I come with an honest Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.